Hello, and welcome to the AgTech So What podcast. Emerging technologies are rapidly changing the global agricultural industry, and we believe that this revolution is only getting started. But there's still too much hype out there and too big of a disconnect between ag and ag tech. So on this show, we try to bridge that gap. In each episode, we bring you the story of a different innovator in agriculture and try to find the place where ag and tech meet. I'm your host, Sarah Nolette. Today's episode is number two on the theme of getting ag tech ready, which we are bringing to you in partnership with Decipher. Our guest today is Lachlan Sutton. Lachie grew up on a mixed farm and spent 10 years working for rural services company Elders, looking after up to 200 clients at times. Now, he looks after ag tech and new farm developments as an agribusiness manager for corporate farm here in Australia called Southern Cross Farms. In our chat, Lachie shares tips about some good and not so good experiences with ag tech. I particularly loved hearing about the differences between corporate and family farms and their decision-making around why and how to adopt ag tech. And actually, I found it fascinating how much of his advice can apply to farmers of all different kinds, whether corporate or family. The episode cuts in with Lachie answering my question about how he defines ag tech. So here's Lachlan Sutton in episode two of Getting Ag Tech Ready, brought to you in partnership with Decipher.
Yeah, well, for me, Sarah, I suppose because I've been across a lot of different commodities, it probably does in some regards mean the same thing across all of them. If you sit down and you talk to someone who's managing an almond property or a citrus orchard, a lot of the challenges are the same as those who are managing a 250,000 hectare sheep property in the Western Division of New South Wales. We talk a lot about the weather, we talk a lot about people, and we talk a lot about commodity prices. So to me, ag techs, it's not necessarily just a new machine or a new bit of software that we put into a tractor or look at how we analyze our data, how we collect data. It can be a new technique, so how we move our livestock or how we handle them through the yards, or it can be a new chemical that's come out just to help break herbicide resistance or something like that. So to me, it's a really broad topic. Which brings with it some challenges, but also some really good opportunities.
Do you kind of have a list of here's all the things we wish we had and I'm going to prioritize and then I'm going to go look for stuff? Or is it more kind of just generally looking for stuff, and if it's a fit with a need, then you grab it? Like, kind of how do you think about that triage of there's a million things we could go solve, but which ones do we actually start with?
So we probably do a little bit of both, to be honest, Sarah, like particularly, and it sort of differs compared to something I would do in a family farming setting to now in a corporate where we've got hundreds of people on farm every day. And I mean, we always see a lot of problems, but we also try and see a lot of opportunities to improve things. But on the other hand, we've got that many ag tech companies now that are looking to come through our door and with all these new products, we spend a lot of our time really sort of culling those and funneling them down to what's really going to suit our challenges and opportunities within our business.
You mentioned the difference between a family farm and a corporate farm. Like, tell me about that difference. Like, maybe what's an example of something that would have either been easier to do on a family farm or harder, or easier on a corporate or harder, that like illustrates the difference?
I think the decision-making process is quite different, particularly sort of in a corporate farming sense. A lot of the assets that we manage or have acquired, we haven't had for a really long time. So we need to try and gain data as quickly as possible and make those decisions soundly based off good quality data as best as we can get it, which is sometimes a challenge. Whereas in a family farming setting, a lot of the time, and this, I don't want to throw a blanket because it is a diverse industry, but in a family farming setting, we're talking sort of third, fourth, fifth generation that have really got a good feel for their land. So we're trying to make that up in a short period of time, which is incredibly challenging to do. So that's the main difference that I sort of see a lot of the time. I don't see a lot of difference in the passion between the two. I think both generally want to, in most circumstances, want to make their businesses better. So it's just that time frame and of course, at times scale as well. So the more people we have running around on corporate, larger farmers, the more opportunities there are for things to go wrong. But also the more opportunities there are for new ideas and new ways of thinking as well.
So. It's so interesting, the lack of kind of historical data or context on a place. Like in some ways that can be such a good thing because you need to use data to make decisions. In other ways, it can be, like you said, such a disadvantage because you don't have that intuition or history or context. Do you kind of see that trade-off? Like, are there reasons why coming in with new data could actually be a better thing? Or is it just really important to have that context that you would have over generations?
It's probably how you use the data, to be honest, Sarah. I mean, it's sort of how we make decisions in a corporate sense. A lot of the time is benefit costs the same as any other business would, and being able to justify that to our investors and everything's where we see that ag tech side, being able to get that data quicker if we can get it. But also the expertise of our people is a really strong focus, trying to just from their previous mistakes in the past and previous successes in the past, to be able to make those decisions a lot sounder when we acquire an asset and get up and running as quick as possible.
So maybe take me through an example of a technology that you guys have decided to buy at Southern Cross recently. Like, how did you come across it? And then how did you decide to buy it? Did you have to justify it or do some kind of calculation? Like, who else on the team, you needed their expertise or their input? Like, kind of take me through maybe an example of how that worked.
Yeah, so probably the first one that comes to mind that we've just completed today. I think we're probably up to a couple of months trial now, a month or two trial, which is going really well. And is a GPS tracking system called TrackMap. So it's a New Zealand based company, but with offices in Australia as well. And they're one of the few sort of really horticultural focused GPS based companies. So it was a long process to get to implementing it and to where we are now and actually having good data. But now we're to the point that if we got a new property, we'd probably be quite happy to look at taking it on if the investor was happy. But that process was sort of instigated by like a lot of these things at field days and their sales representatives coming through our door and discussing the product with us. It was done on a number of different levels as well. So the business I work for has actually got an innovation committee, which is a mixture of people from in the offices, out in the field, right through from farmhands to managers to senior managers within the business. And each one has a different opinion and a different sort of ideas around how we can use things. And we settled on this product because, firstly, it was simple. Anyone could use it pretty well as soon as the tractor turns on, it starts logging data. But right through, we could make it as complex as we wanted to. So had the ability to suit what an accountant would want in the office, but it also had the ability to tell a farmhand where he was out in the field and let us know if he was back home safely at the end of the day as well for those working in isolated areas. So it's a really, within our business, there's a lot of different opinions from different areas, which helps us shape our decisions. And although it may take more time to get there, I think we find that we tend to get a really, really well-rounded product when we do finally take something on.
So there's a couple of things you said there that I want to hit on. One, that you met them at a field day. Like, was it important to meet them at a field day? Were they doing some kind of demo, or could it just as easily been like a conference in a city or online? Like, did it matter that they were somehow in the field or in the paddock?
A lot of it was the person who was selling, Sarah, and was sort of the demonstration on how it was really targeted. So it was something that if you were a farmhand who had just hopped on a tractor for the first time that day could go and get something out of it, and vice versa. Someone who is a trained accountant in our office could have gone and still gotten something out of it. So those sorts of things were really important to us. Mm-hmm. And then similarly, once more presentations occurred with our business, it was a similar thing all the way through, which I found that some ag tech companies come through and they're really targeted at a high level. So it might be targeted in the office, whereas others might be sort of too far down the other way. So for us in our business, we need something that might not suit everyone 100%, but it's going to get the majority of our staff across the line and get some really accurate data. And that was the less room for error is more important to us than everything else, to be honest.
You mentioned a trial. So did you, somewhere in the process, they offered to do some kind of free or paid trial? Is that how that happened?
We actually took it on. We actually said we'll trial it for a little while, and which we're sort of getting towards the end of now, and on one of our farms in particular. But we took it on and we said we'll give it a trial. We're comfortable with the value proposition of the product. We're really happy with the support. We know that if we need someone to help us online or in person, those people are there, and we are prepared to come up with the money to do that immediately on a short contract. Some other sort of sort of tech that we've done has been on a trial basis, because we probably weren't quite sold on the attributes of it, or we were trying to balance it against something that was quite similar. But in products that are overall farm management systems, we'd like to be a little bit more confident in them before we choose to take them on, because it's so much work involved in educating farm staff, farm managers, people in the office as to how to use these products, because a lot of them are quite complex. So we don't want to be chopping and changing every week, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what I really want to jump into that, kind of getting the team ready. But before I do, just tell me, having an innovation committee, is that, would you say that's pretty normal, and does it have to have some kind of consensus view, or like, tell me more about how the innovation committee works to decide on a product?
Yeah, it was sort of instigated by our operations manager, who's my boss within Southern Cross and the executive officer. And it was just that I think it stemmed from a number of different reasons. One, we were going through a large time of growth within the business, but also coincided with a lot of new ideas coming into the business as well. So all these new people we were getting on board had new ideas from previous employment, from sort of things they had read about to whatever. And we needed some way of streamlining in that, but we didn't want to kill the mood and say, no, well, we wanted to have some really good constructive discussions and around them, and at times it's a pretty dynamic discussion, because there's everyone, again, from accountants to farm staff to farm managers to operations managers involved in it. So it's really, I'm not sure if many other businesses have it, but I know so far we've trialed some other things that we've been quite happy with as well so far.
And so does something have to, is the point of the innovation committee then to, it sounds like streamline ideas, capture the energy, like get all the different ideas from different views on the business, which I love. Is it more about sharing those ideas, or is it more about making decisions? Like, it's more of kind of a investment decision process, or is it more about sharing ideas and looking at the business from different perspectives, or maybe it's both?
It's a bit of both, Sarah, actually. Like, we've got an answer to our investors and be able to justify why we want to do some of these things at times. And to do that, we want to be sure that we're doing the right thing, and sort of it probably helps streamline these processes, because, I mean, it's the same as if you ask someone what sort of tractor they'd like, they give you four or five different answers if you had five different people, and it's the same with a lot of the stuff that we've got going on farm. I mean, there's so much more coming out now, and all of those things probably work quite well, but we've got to find something that fits well for ourselves, our farmers, and our investors. So that's sort of how we try and grab that congruence and that strategic fit. As we go through, and I think that process really helps it helps sort of provide the discussion that needs to be had, rather than just jumping on the bandwagon and running with something that we're probably never going to be happy with at the start, and then we can find something that, yeah, not everyone might be 100% happy with it, but the majority it will work, and our investors will be happy with their decision.
Yeah, interesting. And you mentioned the getting the team ready part, like kind of once you've decided to adopt something, making sure that it does add value and that everyone is kind of ready and able to get use out of it, depending where they sit in the business. How does that work? Is it like everyone comes into a meeting and then you brief them on the product, or is it kind of goes over time, or you divide and conquer? Like, how do you actually make sure that people are aware of what you're doing and that they find it useful and actually use it?
Communication's a big thing, of course. Naturally, it's to be able to sort of talk about what the product is and what the features are. So if I'm going to say, for example, take the track map sort of example, I really try and understand the product a lot and just look at all of its features. And then once we make that decision, we can sort of go and we discuss it with some of the senior managers, some of the farm managers, etc. And then we bring it right back to, okay, how are we going to start this thing? How are we going to launch it on farm? We're happy with what it is, but we can't just go and do every single feature immediately. So we try and do a soft launch with our products, how we're doing them. So we'll start off on whatever the simplest thing is. So if it's something that starts collecting data when the tractor goes on, or the flow rate controller goes on a sprayer, then that's where we start. If it's something like a moisture monitoring sort of device that's sort of cloud-based or whatever, then the farm manager will just, I mean, it's quite simple, put in there. We won't discuss fill points or anything at the time. We'll just put it on and we'll just look at it, and then we'll build it from there. So we usually try and go for a softly approach at the start. And then that also allows us sort of input from farm staff and farm managers as to where the direction the product can go. So we have that really good buy-in across the group But finally, as well, we need to be consistent with how it's being built on a farm and how we're using it. So if we can't have one farm doing it one way, one farm doing it another, one farm being step five when another farm's at step one. So we're trying to really keep that consistency, and it's something we're really focusing on at the moment, is just that consistent launch to make sure our data, I suppose I would prefer to be consistently incorrect than inconsistently correct, if that makes sense.
Yeah, what's an example of that? Like, tell me that makes sense at a high level, but is there an example? It doesn't have to be that product, can be another one, about like an inconsistency, or how maybe even how you actually go about getting that consistency and why it's so important.
There was another product we used and we had, it was when it was launched, it was sort of wasn't launched simultaneously across each farm. It was launched, it was a staged launch. And we had a lot of challenges with, once it got out of control and people were using it in different ways, that we had to almost relaunch the whole product. And that was things like chemical lists were being put in different ways. We had people recording their hours in different ways. We had all these other things that just seemed to sort of mutate and grow without us even focusing on it too much. And just got really out of hand and really, really messy. So we had to bring that right back to point A, relaunch it, and then almost rebuild it from there. So which took a lot of time, and time's something we don't have a lot of.
And so what did you learn from that? Like, how would you do it? How would you do it differently? Or what have you guys changed as a result of that experience?
It's the same as a lot of things, Sarah. We just standardize and it's, but we know how to do that in a way that kills new ideas as well. So we really need to make sure that the process for new ideas is really clear, that things don't just happen for the sake of the happening. So they come back through a clear channel, and then they continue to be implemented or they get put to one side for a future time. So rather than initially when a new idea, which credit to the ag company, the tech company, they were really quite good, and then they take all these new ideas on and they say, yeah, we can do that. In effect, they sort of built a rod for their own back and really probably did some detriment to the product. As I said, it's everyone's got some really good ideas right through the farm, and it's just important to really streamline those ideas.
Yeah, right. So that would be the kind of capturing new ideas would be both additions to like new features or changes of how you'd use the product as well as fully new products.
Yeah, definitely, Sarah. I mean, it's definitely how we look at it, because most of the ag tech companies, to their credit, are really, really receptive to new ideas, and always more than happy to. I mean, it may take some, maybe something like integration with an accounting system or integration with some sort of approval system, or whatever, and they're always really happy to take that on board and say, yeah, we'll try to do it. And again, sometimes that could be to their own detriment, where it might be simpler just to leave it as it is for now and worry about it later. So there might be some more low-hanging fruit that we can take that will make the product work better or prevent it from not working more poorly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. You mentioned two things that kind of go together for me. One is cutting through the noise. And I imagine that a lot of the marketing language for some of these products is pretty similar, like helps you save time, helps you cut costs, whatever it might be. And so how do you kind of cut through the noise? And maybe you have an example of something that you didn't buy, like something you thought looked good on the surface, and then once you kind of dug into it, it didn't make sense. Like, how did you kind of figure that out?
Yeah, I suppose, as I said, everyone that comes through has always got, and nothing against any product, every product I think I've seen has been really quite interesting, and you can see some potential for where it would fit within a farm, but just not necessarily our farm. I suppose our big thing is just support. It's the same. I look at it now more as if I was buying a tractor. If I had five different tractors to buy from in my local district or away, first thing I look at is after-sales service. As well as what the functionality of the product is. So if there's no one here to help us, I can't get to Griffith, I can't get to Hillston tomorrow to go and fix a product. We need to have someone that can do that.
So how do you test for that? Do you just ask the company how that works, or do you actually mean that they would need to have an example of a farm using it nearby that you could call and ask, like, what happened when it broke? Did they come support you? Like, how do you actually assess whether the support will be good?
It's actually building relationships, Sarah. Like, we've, the ones that we've really launched quite well have had good relationships with. That's what it takes. We may not make a decision really quickly, but we make a decision after we're comfortable that the people that we're dealing with, we know. I mean, we've met the CEOs of a lot of these companies, and and we're comfortable and their strategic direction is going to fit our strategic direction as well. So that's one of the big things. It's just that relationship building. So even though we might be dealing with a bit of software or a bit of machinery, there's still that people factor is really, really important.
Yeah, it's so interesting, the looking at their strategic vision, like it's such a important thing to know. And the concern, like, what if this company goes out of business, or what if they decide to, you know, provide a blue thing instead of a red thing, whatever it might be. You really want to know that, it sounds like we really want to know that where they're headed is consistent with where you want to go, and it's not going to get dropped, both from a support perspective, but also just from a, like, a company perspective, because this space is changing so much. You want to know that they're going to be in it with you, you know, for a while.
Yeah, exactly right, Sarah. And I think as I said, that everyone's got so many big ideas, and which is fantastic. That's such a good thing. But sometimes the lowest common denominator on a sheep farm is someone shutting a gate at the right time or checking a water. So we can do all these different things, and we can really push it quite hard, but we've just got to bring it and make sure that the direction is really sound and really well set.
Does your experience working for a corporate and kind of having more of these processes around how you'd make decisions, how you'd collect ideas, how you'd get ready, has that changed how you think about buying or adopting technology for the family farm?
It has a little bit, yeah. I suppose now I think more in benefit cost rather than just something I like. I suppose once upon a time if I went and bought a tractor, I'd buy a John Deere just because that was what my family always bought, or I'd buy a Case New Holland because that's what my family always thought. So I think now I look more at the features and how it's actually going to help me, or is there something else out there that's going to be able to help me more? So I think, yeah, it definitely has. But I suppose a lot of the scale that we talk about in corporate farming compared to what I would in the family farm is completely different. But still, the challenges remain the same. They're people, weather, and commodity prices predominantly. So.
Interesting. When you say evaluate like the features more and have a look deeper, like, where would you go to do that? Like, if you saw a product you liked, and maybe you have an example of this product you like, and then you thought, well, you know, this, instead of just buying the one we've always bought, I want to actually understand, you know, is there something better out there, or what should we compare it to? How do you go about that? Like, are you looking on websites? Are you going to conferences, or kind of how do you think about looking for stuff you might not already know about?
I'd probably use my network a lot. So going to boarding schools and colleges and everything, and working around Australia, actually seeing what substance there are to some of the products that are out there, and some new ways that people have been using them from people who I respect. I've been a lot of field days and things that sort of as well, but I try and cut through the sell a little bit, I suppose, Sarah, if that makes sense. I mean, just because a product can do all this doesn't mean that's necessarily what I want it to be able to do. So being able to get one-on-one with the person who's selling it and actually go through the products is incredibly important to me. So, and similarly, that's where it backs up that people factor. So there's people I know whose opinions and successes and failures with the product, and their failures might be my success with it. So actually really getting that one-on-one and really gaining understanding of what the business is and what the product is really important to me.
What advice would you have for someone else in a similar role to you, or maybe who wants to be in your role in the future, who wants to kind of lead ag tech for their company and be looking at this kind of stuff? Like, what advice would you have around being ready and getting the most value out of the ag tech that you're looking at? And what kind of lessons have you learned or mistakes that you've made that maybe someone else could avoid to make sure that this stuff really is adding value?
Yeah, I think for me is initially you've got to have a really sound strategy for what you're trying to achieve within the business. I mean, everyone says, yeah, profitability and producing as much fruit or whatever, but actually sort of drumming it down and sort of these are our most limiting factors. But really overall, just keeping the questions really, really open to try and understand everything about it, and not just the product, but how people interact with it. So asking a farmhand who's been on the tractor all day, how he or she feels about the product, how a manager sees the product, how an accountant sees the product. And to me, that's the best way to work out what the fit's going to be, particularly in a business like this. Probably if you're at home on the family farm, it's probably a similar thing, asking yourself, well, how am I getting value, and where can this product go? What can I do with it? Those things. So I think just continually questioning and making sure that you're getting value out of the product is incredibly important.
Awesome. Well, Lachie, thank you so much for these great insights. Some really good ones there, and appreciate you taking the time to share them with me.
Thanks very much, Sarah.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of AgTech So What. You can stay up to date with the latest episodes and news at agtechsowhat.com. And as always, if you have any feedback or other guests to recommend, we'd love to hear from you. Just hop on the website and leave us a comment or send us a message. Finally, if you like what you're hearing, and we hope you do, please share the podcast with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening. Catch you next time.